Welcome to Holistic Matters, the podcast that's designed to help you become the you that nature intended. Today, we're here with Dr. Andrew Hayman, who's a leading expert and key influencer in integrative medicine, and we have a lot to talk about, particularly in the areas of omega-3 fatty acids. Hi, Andy. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. All right.
So omega-3s have been popularly and widely used for some time, and my own observation is both practitioners and patients probably underestimate, you know, the real benefit and role that omega-3s play. In general, what's your perspective, and how would you describe the benefit of omega-3 fatty acids, and in particular, especially the individual fatty acids, DHA and EPA?
You know, the whole story of fatty acids have, as you know, been around for many, many years. And these are carbon-linked molecules with a double bond on the third carbon. That's why we call them omega-3s. And EPA and DHA are the main fatty acids that we have focused on clinically. And of course, they're found in high abundance in marine oils, but also some natural vegetable oils as well. And our main interest over much of that time has been their anti-inflammatory benefits, mostly because of the way that they impregnate themselves in the cell membrane and influence the inflammatory cascade. They work through other mechanisms too. But as you say, while there's been a lot of interest, we may have, in fact, underestimated their clinical utility. And some of that, I think, is because we're still learning how they function and how they influence the immune system. And so with new knowledge comes potentially new clinical application.
Great. And so are there specific indications of use? Generally people have been taking omega-3s as kind of preventive care for cardiovascular health, but the benefits are far beyond just cardiovascular health these days, isn't it?
Oh, without doubt. And when you look at the broad range of clinical studies that have applied omega-3s, I think two things really emerge. The first is they have wide-ranging applicability, and I'll talk about some of those illnesses and diseases. And number two, we're still trying to figure out the dosing. And the dosing is probably different in a healthy individual, which likely requires less amounts of the EPA and DHA, as opposed to those that have a known inflammatory condition. And when you look at the dosing range, it's anywhere from 1,000 milligrams of combined EPA and DHA up to, in some clinical studies, 15 grams per day. We know that people who have ongoing inflammation likely need more of the fatty acids. And most of the studies that I've looked at recently are at least 2 grams per day or more. And those include rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel diseases, autoimmune disorders like lupus and type 1 diabetes, as well as atopic illnesses that have an inflammatory component like asthma, allergies, psoriasis, and of course, the cardiovascular problems like atherosclerosis and acute cardiovascular events. Interestingly, when you look at the way these things work in the body, not only do they reduce inflammation, but interestingly, they stabilize how cells function, how they communicate with each other, and especially in post-heart attack, they even help regulate irritability of the cardiac myocyte so that those individuals have less risk for arrhythmias. So fatty acids do all sorts of positive things, even beyond just their anti-inflammatory components.
Wow. So would you consider omega-3, in fish oils in general, important as, say, a preventive support? So that, you know, when people take a multivitamin, they should also be taking omega-3 in general. And then we can go through other patient segments and other health issues. But foundationally, was that fair?
I think it's more than fair. So, you know, when we think about health in general, we sort of break those components down, at least in the diet, into macronutrients. you know, we often focus on nowadays a lower carbohydrate diet to help balance insulin. And we talk about nutrient density so that the individual has plenty of vitamins and minerals to kind of drive the machinery of the body. But even now, even listening to health practitioners, I think sometimes we overlook the role of lipids in general in the body and how important they are for health on the cellular level, on the subcellular level, and on the organ system level, that we need to have healthy fats for the body to function normally. And in my mind, if you're thinking about recommending a multivitamin or other nutrient replacement, with equal importance, you also need to be recommending healthy lipids, because there's no way for the person to have a normally regulated immune system if they have abnormal amounts or types of lipids in their diet and or lipids that are already part of their cell membranes. So it's critically important for health in general, and it's just as ubiquitous in a sense in terms of how we should take lipids every day in the same way that we should be on good nutrients and vitamins.
So what about guidelines in knowing what kind of fish oil, what kind of omega-3 fatty acids practitioners should recommend or, you know, a patient should take? You know, there's combination oils where you get DHA and EPA, the two more important omega-3s. But when and why would you decide to take one that's higher in EPA or higher in DHA?
Well, as we've learned about the chemistry of both, my reading of the literature essentially comes down to the EPA probably has a bit more of an anti-inflammatory benefit in the body. And the DHA probably has a greater structural role to play, especially in the brain and the nervous system. And so we really need both. It turns out that we probably need a bit more EPA than we do DHA for those reasons. And most research has a 3-to-2 ratio or 2-to-1 ratio, somewhere in that range of a bit more EPA to DHA, because we want to gain a greater anti-inflammatory benefit.
So let's move into the specific targeted benefit and effect that omega-3 fatty acids might have on underlying inflammation. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your view on things like chronic inflammatory response syndrome that are linked anywhere from, you know, underlying inflammation and chronic disease states to the more serious issue of Lyme's disease to even the more serious and complicated issues of things like concussions and TBI, where inflammation is a huge problem.
That's right. So in a general sense, these omega-3s, in terms of mechanism, I think it's important to understand they work through several different pathways. They decrease production of what are called eicosanoids. These are the downstream lipid mediators that are part of the inflammatory cascade. We know that when people consume omega-3s, they tend to accumulate them in the cell membrane of leukocytes and macrophages and neutrophils, and that when you have a predominance of those omega-3s, we don't see as much production of the inflammatory eicosanoids, that there's a greater balance of these anti-inflammatory eicosanoids. So one area that's important for inflammatory chemistry is the role of the cell membrane and the composition. So by taking in omega-3s, we tend to have better downstream production and better balance of these eicosanoids like prostaglandins and leukotrienes and thromboxanes that are part of the COX and LOX pathway. In addition to that, we also see, as a corollary, increased production of either sort of weakly inflammatory or these anti-inflammatory eicosanoids, especially from EPA. And so that's new literature, but one that we're putting a finer point on the role that the EPA is playing in its inducement of these more sort of anti-inflammatory eicosanoids. In addition to that, the EPA and the DHA also help sort of slow the movement of white blood cells through tissue. So they decrease what we call chemotactic response. They also decrease adhesion molecule expression on white blood cells and endothelial cells. So they make these tissue membranes a little more slippery and a little more anti-inflammatory, so they don't aggregate these inflammatory compounds as easily. And then also, maybe most importantly, they block transcription factors, the most important being NF-kappa-B. And we know NF-kappa-B, as it is produced under states of inflammation, tells the cell all the way down to the DNA to make even more inflammation. So EPA and DHA are working through multiple pathways to blunt the inflammatory response. And this becomes critically important, especially in conditions that by definition are chronic inflammation in nature. And you had mentioned Lyme disease, and you know, in my world, its corollary is mold exposure, where the body has a hard time turning off inflammation. And that gets to two issues. One, what's the composition of the person's cell membrane, and are they taking in enough omega-3 so that they shift those eicosanoid families more to an anti-inflammatory milieu? And number two, can we blunt the genetic expression of inflammation that goes along with Lyme and mold? And so critically important for my patients is to be taking plenty of these omega-3s so that we start trying to turn off that excess genomic expression. Interestingly, when you look at some of the additional inflammatory markers that go along with this chronic inflammatory response, like C4A, which is part of the alternate complement cascade in the blood, TGF-beta1, which is an additional inflammatory transcription factor, MMP9, which is a matrix metalloproteinase, also produced in the immune system, mostly by macrophages. Each of these inflammatory proteins are blunted by omega-3s, and importantly so. So we always need to give these patients these special omega-3s, the EPA and DHA, in great amounts to reduce inflammation. And interestingly, those same markers that we see in the chronic inflammatory response in mold and Lyme, we also are beginning to see emerge as important players in concussion and traumatic brain injury. So for example, when someone has a whiplash or a concussive event, there's what we call the primary injury, which is the vector force across the brain tissue. But at the same time, the brain also twists and stretches and bangs against the inside of the skull, and it establishes what we call the secondary injury, where a number of these patients establish chronic inflammation. And the same markers, TGF-beta1, MMP9, are also expressed under those circumstances. So critically important, whether it's an exposure to Lyme and mold or someone who's had a traumatic brain injury, they need lots and lots of healthy lipids to decrease inflammation and repair the damage that's occurring literally to the neurons, and that's mostly the job of the DHA.
Right. Well, so, you know, there's like a lot of products out there of, you know, like fish oils that are typically about 18% versus 12% of, say, EPA to DHA. And then there are others at higher concentration and even higher percentages of, say, 60-40 EPA to DHA. Does that ratio have any important impact, and as much as, say, the total amount of the fatty acids?
That's a great question. In our own research, in my research with Dr. Shoemaker, we have a data set of about 7,000 patients now that fall into the category of a chronic inflammatory response, meaning a biotoxin exposure that establishes chronic inflammation. And we have specifically looked at this issue of measuring lipid content in patients and trying to identify how much and what type of ratio do we need to give our patients to start blunting that inflammatory response. The markers we follow are the ones I've mentioned, C4A, TGF-beta1, MMP9. And what we found are two things, that the 60-40 ratio of EPA to DHA is critically important, that this sort of magical 3-2 is key in terms of the lipid composition of the cell membrane, and that higher dosing is really important, that the minimum is of the total EPA-DHA content of at least 2 grams a day, and that's probably minimum, and up to 4 grams or more per day, where we really begin to see blunting of that inflammatory expression. So ratio matters in addition to amount. So the 60-40 we found works best in addition to higher dosing.
So for these specialized patients with, you know, let's call it hyperinflammatory states, you know, so again, those would be TBI, traumatic brain injury, concussions, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, particularly Lyme's. So they need both really high amounts of omega-3 fatty acid intake in the right combinations, in the right ratios.
That's right. That's where we saw optimal reduction of inflammation. And it was ratio and amount.
For the less severe inflamed patient, at what point does the ratio become, say, less important than the concentration of available omega-3s?
I think you can go down to the sort of the more classical 2-to-1 ratio. But again, one of the things that we know in the conditions that you've mentioned, whether it's a chronic inflammatory response or TBI, sort of by definition, this inflammation is damaging the nervous system. And you need a bit higher amount of both overall, but also of the DHA component, because we're trying to protect the myelin sheath as much as the cell membrane and protect the brain in particular, because ultimately, in Lyme disease, in mold exposure, in TBI, it's the brain injury that we're really concerned about. And so the ratio matters as much as the amount. In other less inflamed states, I think 2-to-1 is fine. And for prevention, most of the data says at least a gram a day. Right, so we're talking a gram for prevention, at least 1 to 2 grams in low inflammatory states, and clearly above 2 grams, and probably 4 grams or more in these significantly, as you called it, hyperinflammatory states.
And with particularly the higher doses, then with the right ratio of the EPA to DHA.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
What about in the case of people who are, you know, nutrient deficient in their omega-3? So, you know, the National Health Statistics recently showed that about right around 30% of the population have a good 20 to 30% deficiency in the level of these healthy lipids of omega-3s that they ought to have. And so if those people who are deficient, say, get injured, does that make them more susceptible to reaching hyperinflamed states sooner than they might otherwise if they are using preventive care?
It does. So one of the things that we know, if we just go back to the basic model of the cell membrane, by definition, if people are deficient in the omega-3s, sort of the core lipid constituent, usually what that means is that those components have been replaced by mostly arachidonic acid. And this is a different kind of lipid that stimulates more of the pro-inflammatory eicosanoids, like the thromboxanes and PEG and, you know, the rest of the downstream inflammatory mediators. And so what happens is when you're deficient in the good fats, your body, by definition, is more prone to higher baseline levels of inflammation. And this has been shown in study after study. So one of the best preventive things that you can do is stock up on these healthy lipids in your cell membrane. And that means taking these healthy lipids on a daily basis, whether you're getting them in the diet and or you're supplementing with an over-the-counter product.
Right. Great. Any issues or limitations on age? I mean, should kids 12 and older, can they derive some benefit by taking omega-3s? Or?
When you look at the literature, I mean, there's plenty of studies in children as well as elderly for different conditions. But usually in children, the focus was on atopic illnesses like asthma and allergies and eczema. And even they benefit at a gram per day. So I feel certainly safe and comfortable recommending omega-3s and, you know, as you say, in children 12 and above, really almost any age.
So you've given us some great new information and insights on an ingredient that's been around for actually a long time. Put things in perspective. So depending on the condition, the more inflamed, the higher the concentration, and the more inflamed, the more important the ratio. From a preventive point of view, it's as important as well. So I guess the short answer is, everybody can derive some benefit by making sure they have adequate intake of omega-3 fatty acids.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, when you look historically at consumption of lipid content in the human diet, we used to do a better job. And now we've displaced the healthy lipid content with primarily omega-6s and more pro-inflammatory lipids. And so the composition of our cell membranes have changed. And you really have to work now every day, given our modern lifestyle, to reshift those ratios back to a healthier composition with more omega-3s that are present in the body. That takes an effort. That doesn't just happen really naturally. You have to be really careful with your diet. And nowadays, most people need the supplementation. And controlling that level of inflammation through changing the composition of the cell membrane is critically important for health at really every age.
Right. Any considerations beyond omega-3s for any of these health issues or inflamed states that would be important? Is omega-3 kind of a single therapy, or would you consider co-therapy with other nutrients or herbs that might be synergistic or complementary in the really most difficult cases?
Well, certainly there's a whole range. And I would say in my patient population, which fall into that category of hyperinflamed or this chronic inflammatory response, it's not just the omega-3s that we apply. We have to do more than that. And there's a number of botanicals, for example, that have wonderful anti-inflammatory benefits. So, for example, turmeric, I use in just about every patient, especially the types that are able to cross the blood-brain barrier and reduce that fire in the brain that a lot of these patients have established. I couldn't function without that turmeric. In addition, there's some interesting glandulars that also help to control the inflammatory response, and they do this through signaling of microRNA. I find that research very, very interesting. And then finally, all of the new work that's been done on identifying, well, how does the immune system turn off? And that becomes the role of resolvins and protectins. These are small lipid mediators that are found in fish oil, and they bind to G-protein-coupled receptors on macrophages and help to turn off inflammatory response.
Fantastic. We're here with Dr. Andrew Hayman talking to us about the importance of managing inflammation and the use of omega-3 fatty acids. Andy, thanks very much for joining us with the Holistic Matters podcast and for all your time and insights, as usual, and the difference that makes to practitioners everywhere. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Tom.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevier, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you liked this podcast, please share with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we are talking about how to be the you nature intended.